Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved us that He sent Jesus. Galatians 4:4, at the right time, God brought forth His Son into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? So He could die on the cross. As we look this morning at a very familiar passage, we want to remember what happened that night. And we want to raise some questions. Who was there? Who did the speaking? What was the message? What was the response? May this be a special time for each of us as we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank You, Lord, for our church. Thank You that we get to come together. Thank You that we get to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask You that as we look at a very familiar passage in Luke, that we'll see great truths about Your love for us, that You would send Your Son into this world, that Jesus Christ would leave the glories of heaven to become a human being, to humble Himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. May we never forget it. Thank You, Lord, for this great passage. Teach us, Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is my favorite time of year, Christmas. I remember the birth of our Savior, the tree, the songs, the presents, the time with family. Christmas is so much. You know, when I was a boy, I did not go to church. We know, y'all know that. I think I went to church once when I was 6 and maybe once or twice when I was 12. And then after I trusted Christ when I was in college is when I started going to church. But I did know the Christmas story because in school, every year, our teacher, we had the Christmas play. We had a Christmas pageant in our school. And our teacher would get us and line us up and put us in places. And she would read Luke chapter 2. There was an old King James in those days. And they would say, and the angel came upon him, and they were sore afraid. And I went, what does sore mean? Anybody know what it means? When we think of the birth of Christ, this is the incarnation. God becomes a person. The baby born in Bethlehem was indeed the Son of God. And today we want to remember that. We want to think about that first Christmas, that night. The message, by the way, is still the same. It's good news of great joy to all people. But what we want to do is look at Luke chapter 2, and we want to just touch on a very familiar story. I want to look at two things. I want to break it down this way. First of all, we're going to get the background of the birth. We talk about the gift of God, the events, and the birth. And then the second thing we want to do is we're going to see the first message. We'll see who the audience was, who the speaker was, what was the message, and what was the response. And so we'll see that. We'll go quickly through it. It's a very familiar passage, but I want you never to take it for granted. Let's think about, first of all, the background of the birth. Realize the story of Christmas is the story of God's love. In fact, as we put it this way, God loved the world. God gave His Son. So beautiful. When we think about the gift and we think about Christmas, we think about gifts that we give one another, but the greatest gift of all is the gift that God sent when He gave His Son. We think about gifts, and especially about the gift of the Son. Now think about this. First of all, a gift is not deserved. It's free. If you deserve it, it's not a gift. If you do something, they say, you know, you did that for me. You dug a ditch. You fixed my fence. You did this. Here, I'm going to give you this. That's not a gift because they earned it. They did something, and you said, because of what You've done for me, I'm giving You this. But a gift is free. It's not deserved. It's called grace. The gift is Jesus. Jesus Christ came. Because see, Jesus Christ is eternal life. You understand that? He that believes has life, and life is in the Son, Jesus Christ. So He's the gift. And it's based on love. 1 John 4:9-10. And this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sin. Well, let's see the gift. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Now, in those days, now, an angel had already come to Mary and told her that she would have a son, that he would be the Messiah, that he'd be the Son of God, that he'd be the Savior of the world, that he'd take the throne of his father David. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 33, the angel comes and tells Mary, and she says, how can this be? And says, I'm a virgin. Says, don't worry, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which is conceived in your womb is the Son of God. He's going to take the throne of his father, David. She understood that. She understood that the baby that she was going to have would be the Son of God and be the Savior of the world. We also find that in the Gospel of Matthew, that this same angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and he's already decided, since he found out that the one he was going to marry has already had sexual relations with somebody. He doesn't understand how it happened. He doesn't understand what's going on, but he's going to put her away privately. But an angel comes to him in a dream and says, don't be afraid to take Mary, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He's the Son of God. You'll call his name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. So right in the midst of all of this, and she's getting close and close and close, it's about time for the baby to be born. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. A census would be taken of the inherited earth. Why would he do that? He's going to tax the people. You got to count everybody. You got to count everybody so you can know who to tax. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke wants us to know that what happened is a real event with real people in real time. This is for real. That's why Paul says, in exactly the right time, in the fullness of time, God brought forth the Son at the perfect time in history. Now, when we live, we think this is the perfect time in history. We say, oh, it's the best time anybody's ever lived. We got iPhones, right? I mean, it's the greatest time of all. But God said, no, the perfect time for the Messiah was right then. Look what happened. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. They had to go to their hometowns. They had to go to their hometowns to be counted. Now, Joseph and Mary, both of them, were descendants of King David. Joseph through Solomon and Mary through Nathan. That was David's sons. So as they counted out their genealogies, they realized, you know, my relative was King David. Well, if you got to go get counted in your hometown, the hometown of King David is Bethlehem. They've been living in the northern part of Israel. They're going to have to leave and make a trip down that way. Watch verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, that's the northern part of Israel, to Judea, the southern part of Israel, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because, why? Because he was of the house and the family of David. So they have to leave the little town, Nazareth, in the northern part of Israel. And by the way, Nazareth is only famous because Jesus grew up there. Only famous. It's a little bitty town. In fact, right close to it was a Roman garrison and soldiers and problems all the time. If you were going to go anyplace, you'd go to Capernaum. That's just by the Sea of Galilee. Or you might even go to Cana of Galilee, which was kind of a little famous little town, small town. But Nazareth? Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's just a little bitty nothing town. That's where they're living. And they got to leave their little nothing town and go all the way south to a little town. South of the big capital, Jerusalem, is a little town 6 miles south called Bethlehem. But it's such a famous town because David was from there. King David, the greatest king of all. And so they leave Nazareth in the northern part of Israel and go to Bethlehem in the southern part of Israel because he's of the lineage and the house and the family of David. And they got to go do what the law says. Now, it's going to be slow moving because she says, I'm getting pretty close. And so they can't go fast. There wasn't much way to go fast in those days anyway. But she's going, and they're probably going on a donkey, and they're going from the northern part to the southern part. And sometimes you could make that trip in a half a day or over a day, you know. But they're moving a lot slower than everybody else. And so everybody says, okay, everybody's got to go to their hometowns. And by the time they get to Bethlehem, it's full of people. And there's no room. Now, it says here that why did he go back there in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child? And we know from other places, by the time they got there, there was no place at all for him. And you can see Joseph trying to find some family, some relations of his that they could stay with. But even in his family, anybody he could find, any of his background people, there's no room. And they even go to places like an inn, which nobody wants to stay in an inn because it's not like the hotels today. They were bad places. I mean, you didn't want to stay there, especially with a wife that's fixing to have a baby. And there wasn't even no room there. So the best place they could find was outside, maybe in kind of a shed-looking place, maybe where somebody kept some of the animals. And that's where they were. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. It's time. She says, I think it's time. He said, are you sure? Yeah, it's time. It says the days were completed. You know why? Because it's the exact time and the exact place. This is the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4 says. It's exactly the right time, and it's exactly the right place because the baby has to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. The promise of the prophet was the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Eugene Stirner said, this Christmas is when God came down the stairs of heaven with a baby in his arms. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice, it's a son. Because Isaiah said, unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given. It's the Son of God. He's the Messiah and the Savior. He's the God-man. There's nobody like him. See, he's the God-man. There's a whole bunch of people, and there's one God. But at a point in time in history, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Son left and became a human being. He's still God, though, so he's the God-man. There's nobody else like him. That's why it's called the mediator. That's why the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the God-man. And so she gave birth to her firstborn son. And so when that baby was born, he wasn't just a little boy. He's God who's a little boy, the God-man. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger. A manger's a feed trough. A feed trough. When we say a manger scene, what we're actually saying is a feed trough scene. See, I used to think the manger was the little house. I said, let's look at your manger scene. I thought the little house that the manger scene always had this little house. And the manger is the feed trough. They wrapped him in cloth and put him in a feed trough because there was no room in the inn. Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall be with child, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, because what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Boy, this is incredible. It's almost too good to be true. The first Christmas gift is God gave his son. And even though he gave his son 2,000 years ago, anyone can receive the gift today simply by faith. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believed in his name. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. By this the love of God was manifested, that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. I hope all of you have received the gift of eternal life, which comes through the gift of Jesus Christ, which comes by faith. If you have not, right where you're sitting right now, you can believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You can trust in him, and you have eternal life. I pray that as we scatter out this Christmas time and we're with family and friends, that we make sure they understand what the gift is. The gift is Jesus Christ in life. Think about the first Christmas. The Messiah was not born to a famous woman. Maybe a 14-year-old girl, maybe 15 years old. And if you'd have said, now this is Mary, she lives in Nazareth, and you'd go, I don't know her. She's not famous at all. He was not born in a major city. See, Capernaum is a major city, and Jerusalem is a major city, and Bethel was a major city, and Caesarea by the sea, because it's by the sea, was a major city. But not Bethlehem, not in a major city. And then he was not born in a special room. He's born outside and placed in a feed trough. So that's the first Christmas and the gift. But let's look now and quickly at the message, the first message. And we're going to see the audience and the speaker and what the message was and the response. So let's start with the audience. And the audience are shepherds. So look at verse 8, and this is so famous. And as you know, most of us, when we were growing up, we were shepherds or sheep. Because in the play, somebody special got to be Mary, somebody special got to be Joseph, and all the rest of us were either animals or shepherds, right? So we should identify with the shepherds. In that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, the shepherds were the common people. And let me tell you something. Because they were these animals all the time, most of the time they were considered unclean. So they couldn't even offer certain sacrifices at times because they weren't even clean. And sometimes when people would see a shepherd come in, they would say, stand back, don't let him touch you, because if he touches you, you become unclean. God came to the common people. He didn't come to the religious leaders like Pilate or the Levites or the rabbis. He didn't come to the political leaders like Herod, he didn't come to the religious leaders like the high priest, but he didn't come to the political leaders like Pilate or Herod. He didn't come to a wealthy businessman. He didn't come to those in high social status. In fact, both Mary and Joseph were very poor people. They're outside. Some people have said, wait a minute. They're outside keeping watch over the flock by night. Can't be December. So maybe Jesus wasn't born around December 25th, because that's the tradition. And we know that there was a time in which the church decided and said, this will be the day we celebrate. So we really don't know exactly when he was born. But let me tell you something. Dr. Mark Cameron, who I went to Israel with in 1976, he's passed away now, great Bible scholar. He did all research on the priest and when they served and their orders of service. And he traced it all the way up to Zacharias, which was the father of John the Baptist, who was 6 months older than Jesus. And he's traced through, and according to his calculations, Jesus was born sometime in the winter. And you may say, but wasn't it cold? And do the shepherds stay outside with their sheep in December? I was in Israel in 1976 on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, out in the fields with our shepherd, and I had on a sweater. That's all I had on. Well, I had on other clothes other than a sweater, but it wasn't cold. And they also say that they were outside because even in the winter, they had to have the animals for the sacrifices. So in that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over the flock by night. And so that's the audience. Who's going to be the speaker? It's an angel. Watch. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. It's an angel. It's not a person, but a very powerful being. And we know angels are so powerful that most of the time, any time in the Scripture you see an angel appear, people are so afraid. In fact, we find back in the Old Testament that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian troops overnight, just like that. Angels are called ministering spirits. They're sent from God. And so this is an angel of the Lord. And it says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That the sky suddenly lit up where this angel was. And we've all got in our minds what it looked like. And you can see those men out there with those sheep, and this being appears so powerful. You know they're afraid. You know they're scared. It says, and they were terribly frightened. But watch, and we're going to see the message. Angel said to them, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. So he said, listen, this is the message. And by the way, this message just wasn't to those people that night. And it just wasn't to bring it on into Joseph and Mary. And it wasn't just on for the Jewish people in that day and time. It's for every human being for all time. This is the message. The angel says, stop being afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, great joy, which will be for all the people. Notice, good news, great joy to all people. See, good news is a gospel. In fact, the Greek word gospel, euangelion, is the word we get evangelized from, and it means a good news message. He says, I'm going to give you a good news message, which is bring great joy, because when you hear the message, there is joy, and which is for every person, not just the shepherd, not just the Jews, not just the people living then, but for every human being for all time. That's why it says, God so loved the world that he gave his son. Here's the message. You ready? He's going to be very, very clear. Verse 10 again. The angel said to him, don't be afraid, for I bring you good news, a great joy, which will be for all the people. Here it is. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you, notice, for you, born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Born in the city of David, that's Bethlehem. Been born for you. This is Isaiah 9:6. Unto us the child is born. Unto us the son is given. And the virgin shall be with a child, and behold, she'll bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Notice it says, for today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior. Not a great teacher. Now, he was a great teacher, but they didn't say, born for you is a great teacher. Born for you is a great speaker. Born for you is a great helper. Born for you is a great friend. Born for you is a good man. No, born for you is a Savior. See, although we love good teachers and we love good people and we love good speakers and we love good friends, they can't save us. Only a Savior can save us. We need a Savior. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need someone. We're separated from God. And God has sent the Savior to save us. We can't measure up. Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's why in Matthew 1, angel said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. In Acts, Peter stood up and said, there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. For born this day in the city of David is born for you a Savior who is, notice, Christ the Lord. The Messiah who is God. The anointed one of God who is God. See, Christ means Messiah, Mashiach. They would all understand that. They would say, oh, Mashiach, Messiah. That's the one we've waited for. That's the one promised to Adam and Eve. That's the one promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David and all of us. We're waiting for that one to come. And he says, you don't have to wait anymore. Born this day in the city of David is the Savior Christ, the Lord. The word Lord there means God. It means master. It means the deity. A Savior is born. What a message. When we talk about Christmas, it's the Savior was born. The Savior came into the world. We could be sitting there thinking, wow, if we're a shepherd, wow, this is the message we've waited for all our lives. This is the message that all of humanity has waited for all their lives, that the Messiah promised in Genesis 3:15 to Adam and Eve and to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Judah and to David and all the way up. That Messiah is here. Now the question might be, how do we find him? Born in the city of David as a baby. Now, normally in the city of David, we might could go into town and find how many women had given birth that day. And it was a smaller town, maybe not that many. But there are people from all over have come to that town. It's so full you can't even get, there's no place to stay. No telling how many women had a baby. How are we going to find this baby? And the angel says, this will be a sign for you. This is how you're going to find the baby. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feed trough in a manger. That's how you find him. God always lets us know the way. Just like Philip said, but Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Look what happened. And suddenly, there appeared with them a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now we all say that the angels did what that night? They sang. They didn't say it. Maybe they did. But it doesn't say it, does it? It says they were praising God and saying. But in my mind, they've always sang, right? Because isn't that what we say? The night the angels sang? What have we seen? Shepherds are the audience. The angel is the speaker. The message is good news, great joy to all people because a Savior's been born. What's the response? What did they do? What did the shepherds do? What do we do? Well, what did the shepherds do? Look, they did two things. They believed the message and they told the message. Look at verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, don't you know it was just so unique? I mean, the sky has been bright, one angel and a bunch of angels, the greatest message of all, and all of a sudden, they're gone. Just as quickly as he appeared, the angel was gone. And you can imagine them looking around at each other and going, "Was it? That was all real. Yeah, that was real." When the angels had gone away from in heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, you can see them talking to each other, saying, "Listen, let's go straight to Bethlehem then. Let's see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They didn't say, anybody believe any of that? I don't believe that. That was nothing. That was nothing. I don't know what we imagined. Did we imagine that? What was that? No, they said, "Let's go right into Bethlehem now and let's find it." Because the angel said, "We're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feed trough. Let's get into town. Let's see what's going on." They believed the message. They told the message. They didn't doubt that this had happened. You believe the message? Do you believe that about 2,000 years ago that God became a person? And that the one we call Jesus, the one who is Jesus of Nazareth, the one that we look at in the scriptures, the one that we date our whole time system on. And do you believe that he is God who was born as a person and then died for you on the cross? See, they didn't doubt it. They said, let's go find this one because this is the Savior. They believed that the one born was the Savior. And my hope and prayer for every one of us in this room, that we believe, that you believe, you have believed that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That the one born in Bethlehem, the one that grew up, the one that died on the cross and rose again, he is the Savior. They believed. But they also made known the message. Look at verse 16. So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the feed trough. They came and found him. And when they'd seen this, they made known, watch, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. They made known the message. Listen, can you imagine? They went into Mary and Joseph and said, "An angel appeared to us and told us that your baby is the Messiah and the Savior of the world." What do you think Mary thought? I think Mary said, "I already know. I already knew. Angel told me already." All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds, because you know the only people that didn't hear, the only people that heard that message that night wasn't just Joseph and Mary. There were all kind of people around. There were people everywhere. They were probably telling them, "This baby in here, right over here in this feed trough, that baby is the Savior of the world." People wondered what they were talking about. But Mary treasured all these things she knew, pondering them in her heart, thinking about what the angel had told her, that she would have a son who would take the throne of his father David, that he's going to be the Son of God, and that Joseph had heard the same thing in a dream from God, and now these shepherds have come in and told exactly the same thing. They made known the message. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They went back telling everybody. When was the last time you told somebody? When was the last time that we at Christmas time said, "Hey, let's really talk about what Christmas is all about"? It's the story of the birth of the Messiah. Because they went back telling everybody. I know it's exciting. When you trusted Christ, when you were probably younger and you trusted Christ, it was pretty exciting. You wanted to tell everybody. I trusted Christ when I was 19. I remember it was on a Thursday night, and I ran out the next morning to see my track coach. His name was Coach Riley. I went running across the infield of the track thing saying, "Coach Riley, I trusted Christ last night." He went, "Well, good, good, JB, good." I mean, he didn't know what to say. I mean, I was like an idiot. I was telling everybody, "What should we do?" We should keep that same excitement, right? Because as we grow older in the Lord, we just take it all for granted and we think people don't want to know. We act like people don't want to know. They do want to know. In fact, I read a study. I did a study on, I don't know how many thousands of people to find out where they were. And in the continuum of unbelievers, there is a very small percentage, something like 3%, of unbelievers who say, "I'm not interested in anything, way, shape, or form. Don't even talk to me about it." All the rest, 97%, are open to listen to you. Now, some of them are more closed. As you get further up the deal, there's like a percentage of people who say they're open. They'll say, I'll listen, but I'm not really listening. And then there's a group that says, I don't really know. I'm listening. And there's a group that are saying, I'm waiting for truth. So there's only a very small percentage of people that you're going to run into that'll say to you, I'm not interested. I don't want to talk about it. Don't even bring it up to me. You're offending me. That's a very small percentage. So when we go out these doors, we act like nobody wants for us to talk to them about it. Most people will listen to you. So just like the shepherds went back and they were telling everybody, they were glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them, let's do the same thing. So what have we seen? The background of the birth, the message. First of all, the background of the birth and all that we saw about the gift and Mary and Joseph. But we've seen the message. The audience for the shepherds, we'd say the common people. The speaker was an angel, a messenger from God. We've seen the message, which is good news, great joy to all people, the Savior. And the response, they believed and they told. See, there's a lot of us who believe, but we're not telling. It's scary to tell sometimes. It's a spiritual battle. We got to go with the boldness of Jesus Christ and proclaim it. Let me give you some applications. Let us know the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is not the Christmas tree or toys or Santa Claus or decorations. The message of Christmas is the baby born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. And all who believe in Him have eternal life. The second response is this. Let's believe and proclaim the message. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, right now, you don't have to get up, you don't have to come down, you simply believe that Jesus Christ is the one who died for you and rose again. The one born in Bethlehem is your Savior. And right where you're sitting, you can trust in Him. The second thing is, let's tell people. Let's tell others what is the Christmas message. What is it? Let's tell them what Christmas is all about. Make known, tell it. May we praise God this morning for the birth of our Savior. And may we tell others so they can know. Let me pray, and then I think you've got a song, is that right? Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatest message of all, the good news which brings great joy to all people, and that Jesus Christ is born. And Lord, we want to go tell it. We want to tell it to everyone we can. We want people to understand the real meaning of Christmas. We can enjoy all of the things connected with Christmas, but we do not want to miss the truth. Use us, Lord, at this time to share the greatest message of all so that people can know and they can believe and they can have life and they can proclaim the message as well. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, that you so loved us that you brought him into the world so he could be our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name.